No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 6th day of October. Welcome, everyone. We are in the Gospels. A lot happened over the weekend. This man named Jesus. Whew! There is a lot to unfold, to catch up on, and to understand as we go. Because if we don't understand some of the things that Jesus is saying, and to some of the people that he is saying them to, the language can feel cryptic. And we just glaze over it without understanding and move on. And so we'll break this down a little bit together after the reading, just to catch up. Today, we're going to read John chapters 2 through 4, and this week we are reading the New International Version, John chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brother and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him. To this John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Okay, there's a lot we could talk about today. Let's go back just for a second to yesterday and over the weekend, our reading, the testing of Jesus by the devil. Now, we may have this picture of the devil as this little figure who sits upon our shoulder in red, shiny latex with a tail and the hat and the horns and the pitchfork, and you know, you shouldn't, whatever voice the devil would sound like, you know, you really shouldn't have that second bowl of ice cream. We're gonna need to throw that concept, that picture, out of our mind, of this little red devilish man in really bad skin tight latex. And maybe we could consider that whatever we have been taught or told about this devil, maybe we don't have a full understanding and knowledge of who or what this is. But as we read, this devil, this arrogant, prideful, self-exalted being, taunts and tempts Jesus as if Jesus owes something to him. This is the point that we should understand. As if Jesus owes a sign to the devil, but it wasn't just a sign that the devil was wanting. He was wanting to exalt himself above Jesus. Now, as we read this, this is figurative language and literal language. He takes him higher and higher and higher to show him more things as he is exalting himself higher and higher and higher, and ultimately takes him to a view and shows him a kingdom, all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and offers to give them to Jesus if Jesus will fall down and worship him. I mean, we read this stuff and we just scathe over it like, oh, he just wants to show him the world and the kingdoms, as if they were not Jesus' kingdoms to begin with already. Jesus can have whatever kingdom, but Jesus knows the kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdom of earth. We have to remember our kingdom is not of this world. It's hard to remember and recognize when people have more and better, and they trap us into that trapping of, you know, to be cool and good and relevant, you gotta have the same thing, wear the same shoes, drive the same cars, worship, play the same worship music, all of the rhetoric, all of the rituals that mean nothing. Why would Jesus want a kingdom of darkness when he has the kingdom of heaven available and he knows the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So let's understand that really important piece of not just Jesus being tempted, and we have to also walk away from temptation, because if he's tempted, surely we're going to get tempted. That is not the point, I believe, to the story. We also read yesterday, Jesus reading from the scroll at the beginning of his ministry in the temple from the prophet Isaiah, where he states his intentions for what he came to do. I absolutely love this. And that was yesterday. Today we turned the page and we have the first miracle of Jesus, water to wine at the wedding of Cana. And this starts by his mother. I love this interaction. The mother of Jesus tells him, the guests have run out of wine. And he's like, woman, what do you want me to do about this? It is not my time yet. And she does not even respond to Jesus. I love that she knows her son. She says to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. I've been to Cana. I have seen the stone vat of which the water would be held. And if I could get my hands on one of those for about $20, it is magnificent. Magnificent in size. Magnificent to think that water was turned to wine. And we have to, again, understand the symbolism here, that the guests would usually, by the time they are schnookered, by starting off drinking the good wine, they can't tell when the cheap stuff is coming out. They're just drinking and having a good time. But the wine that Jesus turns from water to wine is the good stuff. And it is noticed that the good wine that usually is not present at the end, this is what Jesus provides. And we have read so many other miracles today. I wish I had time to talk about every single one of them. But let's notice that there are these different miracles taking place with different people groups. And not only are the people groups of which area they come from important, the exchange at the end is also important. And we'll talk about some of those as we go. But we made it. We're here. And don't you love this man named Jesus, who was a friend to those that society would have nothing to do with? I am awed by him. Let's pause here for today. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for coming to heal the brokenhearted. We are all broken in some capacity. We are all progresses of healing in process. If we acknowledge our brokenness, I pray that we would reach towards you instead of breaking those in our brokenness all around us, and that we would see the broken in the same manner of which you saw. You were moved by compassion and you went to those. May we go to those who need the love and the healing that you can bring. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is the website, that is the free app, that is where you are right now, whether you know it or not. And whether you know it or not, we are going on a trip. I am so excited to be able to talk about this. This has been a dream of Brian's for so long, to visit the places in the New Testament of which Paul was on in his missionary journey, where Paul went and preached the gospel, where Paul was shipwrecked, where Paul wrote letters to the churches. We are going on a trek. It's going to be a long trek. It's going to be a long time. I have to pack light. That may be the hardest part of all of this. I do not know how to do that. I'll just put it out there. I'm going to try real hard. And I got to leave room in the suitcase, because you know that there's going to be some yummy goodies to pick up along the way. Maybe a stone vat or two. We are leaving in just a few days to travel extensively and to take this pilgrimage, kind of a fact-finding trip, and we are doing so in hopes to bring those of you who would love to come with us someday back there. The Israel trip has been so rewarding. I don't want to use the word successful. It has been so rewarding. It is such a spiritual awakening. It brings the Bible to life and pops those pictures right off the pages. We want to be able to do the same thing, because much of this trip of the New Testament is post the ascension of Jesus. This is where the apostles have established their ministries and teaching those about the good news of Jesus, but especially Paul, who wrote a lot, if not most, of the New Testament. So, we're going on a trip. As Brian says, pack your toothbrush, because we don't want no stanky breath. Maybe some clean drawers, and let's go. We will be posting a lot to social media. We'll be vlogging some so that you can get a little glimpse into what we are doing there and discovering. We are so excited. We've never done this long away from all of our family this long. Please, we could use your prayers. Please pray. Please pray for us. It will be challenging, despite what it all looks like. It is not always as glamorous and exciting as it seems to be. There are some real challenges to road life. This is what Brian and I did years before the Daily Audio Bible started, and it's tough. It can be lonely and it can be exhausting. Nobody wants to be sick away from home. And I just really love my kids and my grandkids. So the thoughts of being gone this long, they're a little bit daunting, to be honest. But I'm excited for this time with Brian. I'm excited for this journey with God through his word, and for this word to come alive to us. So we're going to get ready and go in just a few days. And I hope that you'll come on the journey with us. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Until then, love one another.
Hey, family. Hey, covered in his blood. I believe you're from Tennessee. This is your sister to the north, Kim from Kentucky. And I'm one of those listeners in the background and praying for y'all, but don't come call in very often. But I had to call in this morning because I was just overjoyed hearing the testimony of you getting to keep your little granddaughter. It blessed me so. Today's the 30th, and I'm getting ready to leave to go to the hospital because my daughter-in-law is having, it will be my third grandchild, a little girl. And I just know how special that is. And I was just so excited to hear that report. And what really I wanted to share was Jill had read Psalms 126 and how the Lord, when he restored the fortunes of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming and our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with joyful songs. And I thought that's what you've done today for covered in his blood and her son Tutu and getting to be with little Tootie. And I know there's going to be more. He doesn't do anything halfway. He's going to bring complete restoration. I'm continuing to pray for that. And then Jim from Worcester. Lord, I love the rocking of the piano in September. That was just wonderful. It made me smile. I grew up with those songs, so I've loved it. Y'all, just be blessed. I love y'all. God bless you. And just remember, he's still working it all out. He is.
Hey, my daily audio Bible chronological family. This is Greg from Washington, a.k.a. Clown for Christ. First, I just wanted to say thank you to the Harden family. The blessings from this are immense. It's fulfilling prophecy, I believe. And that I want everybody to remember that they didn't already know that even when people don't call in, like myself, I'm always praying whenever I hear your prayers. And today I'm asking for prayer for my wife, Denise, who is coming up on her third surgery for her left shoulder. First one wasn't done tight enough and busted. Second one was about 6 months ago and involved cadaver, rotator cuff, and all kinds of parts. And then she's going to have another because a physical therapist pushed her to the point that it ruptured her supraspinatus. Anyway, there's insurance issues and there's fights just to get it done and on and on. And then new information about blood work and a possible blood disease. So I'm asking for healing and a reduction in pain for my wife, Denise, and that the surgery would go well and that she can go back to life without pain. Well, thank you very much for your prayers, and God bless all of us. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Chronological. My name is Renee, and I'm calling from South Africa. I'm calling in because I'm asking for prayers. My board exam results for my admission as an attorney are being released either on the 2nd of October or the 3rd of October. I've been struggling with this exam for the past 3 years now, and it would mean the world to me if I can just get through this journey and pass this exam and be admitted as an attorney here in South Africa. So I'm just asking all saints all over the world, all saints from DABC, DAB, to just join me in prayer and that I've passed this exam. My employers have been very supportive throughout this journey, and it has been a very humbling and painful journey. But I have faith that this time